Our gospel reading for today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your words that you have given to us. We thank you for the message which will be brought forth this morning, and I pray that this message is yours and yours alone. Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive your word, that we will take your word and we will go out into this hurting world and we will share it with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What do you think of when you hear the word meek? Do you think of someone who is shy and introverted? Do you think of someone who never stands up for themselves? Someone who tends to hide behind others? Meekness does mean to be submissive, but we need to ask ourselves, submissive to who? Today we understand the word meekness much differently than in Jesus' day. Meekness doesn't mean that we are a doormat for others to walk on. When Jesus spoke this parable, this beatitude, when he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," he meant that those who are meek are those who have committed themselves to the will of God, to those who were ready to serve. Meekness actually falls under the fruits of the Spirit, as we are told in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Meekness means that we are to have patience and we are to be gentle. So we have to be gentle and have patience with others. Both those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and those who do not. Christian meekness means that we keep clear of extremes. It means that we don't go around hitting others over the head with the Bible saying, "Here, you need to know this word." But it also does not mean that we say anything goes. There's a balance. There's a balance of sharing God's word in love so that others know that not everything is right in the sight of God. A balance. Meekness keeps steady with regard to anger and sorrow and fear. It preserves balance in the circumstances of our own lives. It means that we are aware that we are sinners, that we have weaknesses in our own lives, but we are confident in who we are because we know whose we are. We trust God, and we trust the ways of God's kingdom. The meek understand that the treasures of this world are not eternal. In fact, we hear that in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He tells us in chapter 6, Oh, sure he does. I only had to turn one page. I turned four. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The greatest treasure that we have here on earth is first and foremost our relationship with God through Jesus Christ and our relationship with one another. Meekness gives us a perspective of grace instead of position. We are equal in God's eyes. We're the same, yet we're different. He doesn't look at us by our economic standards, by our intellectual standards, by our fashion standards. God looks at our hearts. Who does our heart belong to? I want to show you this picture, which was given to me as a gift. The symbolism of this picture is God's love flowing into our hearts to the point of overflowing out to others. Are our hearts so filled with the love of God that it overflows to those around us? When meekness applies to our relationship with God, it reaches out to others. It's kindness toward what is good, and it's compassion for what is evil. If all we do is criticize and put people down who don't know the Lord, how will they ever come to know Him? If we fail to reach out to those who look very different than us, who think very different than us, how will they ever know who Jesus can be for their lives? So the question then becomes for us, are we willing to allow God to use us to reach others? To reach those who do not yet know Jesus, or maybe even to reach those who have stepped away because they have been hurt by those who know Jesus. It's scary to think of how it is that God would use us, isn't it? But we need to remember God's word and how He used those who felt that they couldn't be used. Remember Moses? What were the words that Moses spoke? He said, "Lord, I can't speak." But God provided. And the one who was called the meekest of men led God's people, the Israelites, out of slavery. Remember when God called Jeremiah? Jeremiah said, "I can't speak, I'm just a boy." God said, "Do not say you're just a boy, for you shall go to where I send you, and you shall speak what I command you. Do not be afraid, for I will deliver you." We also need to remember God's word and how it is that He used common everyday things. Of how He used the staff many times in Moses' ministry. Of how He used stones for David to be able to conquer the giant. We also need to remember those that God used who others would not understand. Such as David, who was an adulterer and a murderer, and yet God called him. Rahab, who was a prostitute. Peter, who denied Jesus not once, but three times. After I became a pastor, I was at a community dinner and a gentleman was sitting across from me who had known me since I was born. And he said, "I heard a rumor about you. I heard you became a pastor." I said, "That's true." He said, "Well, that just goes to show you God will use anybody." My response to that was, "Yeah, he will if we let him." To be meek does not mean that we look at what our ability is, but we look at our availability. We look at how it is that we make ourselves available to what God is calling us to. Beth Lucado writes in Applause in Heaven, a reminder that God uses ordinary people and ordinary things. He points out that when we are meek and freely give ourselves to God and to God's will, that it is through God's power that we are able to share His love and His grace to others. So meekness does not mean weakness. Let me repeat that. Meekness does not mean weakness. It means that our strength comes from God. It means that we commit ourselves to Him and what He has for us to do. It means that we trust in Him completely and that we live as Jesus with a loving and a self-giving spirit. So for many, this causes a shift in our thinking. How many of you have ever used a GPS system? And you make a wrong turn. Often that GPS system will say recalculating, won't it? Well, that's kind of how it is with this third beatitude. When we think of how it is that Jesus is calling us to be meek, it recalculates or it recalibrates the way that we think. It shows us that it is significant for us to love others as Jesus loves us. The world is telling us, look out for number one. Get all you can. Make yourselves comfortable. Well, Jesus says, gather enough for yourselves. But look at what others need and where it is that you can share. Whatever that may be, whether it be material things, whether it be emotional, or whether it be spiritual. What I mean by that is if we have been blessed with wealth, are we keeping it for ourselves? Or are we looking around at the needs among us? Do we look to see who it is that could benefit from what we may have? And are we willing to share our wealth with them? If we have been through an emotional trial in our life, how is it that we can help someone else maybe going through that same trial in their life? An example of this is a family I know lived very close to the wife's parents. They were there visiting the parents, grandparents one evening. It was just at dusk, and their 12-year-old son asked if he could walk home. Now, we're talking three doors down. His parents said sure, but in that short walk he was hit by a car and killed. The first person who reached out to them was a couple who had lost their 11-year-old son. Not in the same manner, but they knew that emotional hurting. They understood what it meant to lose a child. And so they sacrificed all of their own hurt emotions that they still felt deeply from the loss of their son to help someone else through that emotional, difficult situation. Maybe you have struggled with your spiritual life. Maybe you are the person who needs to reach out to someone else who is struggling. We are often hurt by other Christians. But what we need to understand is, even though we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, even though we are a follower of Christ, we are a human being and we make mistakes. I am not saying that that has happened to everyone, but I know many people who have walked away from the church because they've been hurt by someone in the church. Maybe you had been one of those persons. But what we need to realize is that we are not here to worship one another. We are here to worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet sometimes we put our faith in man, don't we, instead of God. And when we do that, our spiritual lives suffer. We need our church family. We need the love and support of our Christian family. But we also need to remember that as much as God made us the same, God made us different. He made us each individuals. He gave us each a mind to think for ourselves. And unfortunately, sometimes the way we think is very selfish and thoughtless. So we need to come to that understanding that our relationships are not going to be perfect with one another. There are going to be flaws. There are going to be times that we don't agree with one another. But how is it that we can disagree in love? It doesn't mean that we intentionally hurt others. And so if we know that we have hurt someone else, are we meek enough to go to that person and seek their forgiveness? If we have been hurt by someone else, are we willing to forgive them? If we understand this spiritual trial in our lives, are we willing to go to someone else who is suffering and to reach out to them in love? Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." The meek may not be notable by the world's standards, but what the meek do is they weave threads into the basic fabrics of their surroundings in such ways that those who come in contact with them are better for it. To live a meek life means that we live through the power of the Holy Spirit. It means that the world can be changed, maybe just one life at a time. Those who are meek and live according to the will of God receive that promise of the new earth when our triune God comes to dwell with his people forever and ever. Amen.